This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are The Drive. And we are starting to see and feel the momentum building between the Denver Broncos and a quarterback. Mel Kiper released his post-free agency mock draft. He's got the Broncos picking the 5th quarterback off the board at number 12, and it is Oregon quarterback Bo Nix.
Bo! See, you think I'm saying boo, but I'm really saying Bo!
That's what they'll be saying at Mile High if he turns into a player.
I don't know, though. Do you want to hear that? Because it's gonna sound like they're booing him.
But the real ones will know.
The real ones will know.
You know, you look at the odds. You see what Mel Kiper says. You look at the odds. FanDuel put odds out. They have the Denver Broncos as the odds-on favorite to take Bo Nix at plus 250. Next likely candidate is the Vikings at plus 340. And then you learn that the Vikings are holding a private workout with J.J. McCarthy next week. We know they acquired that second first-round pick. It feels like this is trending to a marriage between J.J. McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, or what's interesting, what I've seen is, the Minnesota Vikings are one of them, but the Commanders are supposed to have dinner with J.J. McCarthy the day before his pro day. So that's an interesting one because the Commanders are number two pick of the draft. J.J. has skyrocketed on everybody's board. Man. It has to be good to be that kid right now.
It is. It is because J.J., I mean, this kind of feels like, and not exactly because we know J.J.'s not going to go number one. That'll be Caleb Williams. But this does feel like a Baker Mayfield type of rise where it's like a month before the, not a month, I don't know, 3 months before the draft, but pre-Senior Bowl, the question was, is Baker Mayfield the first-round pick? And by draft night, he's going number one. After the college football season was over, we weren't sure if J.J. McCarthy was going to be a first-round pick or not.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of people saying, go back to school. And now it doesn't look like there's a scenario where he's falling past the 5th or 6th pick. It's just crazy.
It really is. It really is because there's a lot to – I think it's a mystery in J.J. right now, Zach. It's a mystery of what he can do if he gets to throw the ball more than what he did at Michigan. What can he also do? Because – he had a dominant running back, okay, a really good offensive line, and yep. A really, really good defense.
Yep.
But you have people to go to bat for you like Harbaugh, who's in the NFL right now. That was his coach, saying that he wouldn't be surprised if he gets picked up before Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here talking about J.J. McCarthy maybe going to the Minnesota Vikings moving up or someone like the Commanders that is the number two pick.
Right, could you imagine? We kind of laughed at Jim a little bit. Didn't we? When he said that, it's like, okay, he's just over the top, you know, doing promo for his guy. And we understood why he'd be doing that.
And you know what's wild? What if the Bears end up taking J.J. McCarthy over Caleb Williams? And
no
Caleb Williams
way.
Goes to the Commanders.
Could you imagine?
He wants to go to Washington anyway.
Yeah.
What? It sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And
it probably is. It probably is. But the fact that we're talking about him being hosted by the Commanders,
yeah,
like for a dinner or whatever,
yeah,
and he could go number two, it's just this draft process is wild. And he's killed the process. J.J. McCarthy has killed the process. And I think the more and more these coaches and these organizations, these general managers are doing a dive into J.J. because you can't just look at the passing attempts and yards and touchdowns, but it's stuff like, and I know I've said a lot of this stuff before, but I'm just going to say it again, like, take away screen passes. Take away screen passes and look at first halves. And because Michigan blew a lot of teams out. 7 times he didn't play in the 4th quarter.
Yeah.
But look at just first halves and take away the screen passes. Most passing attempts in this class. Look at third downs when he is asked to throw. The last 3 draft classes, best passer rating and best conversion rate on third downs. Highest completion percentage when the play breaks down and he's on the scramble, but he plays on time. He's got a good arm. He's athletic. It's like, man, I think that Sean Payton may have, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, he may have started to uncover this stuff felt confident where he was 5-6 weeks ago, and now it's like the secret on this guy is out, and you got to figure out a plan B.
Yeah, but we talked about this yesterday, Zach, and if that is the case, Sean was really, really confident at the podium talking about how we're going to be good at something that a lot of these teams are not going to be.
This is what he said.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree, we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
And when he was saying that, it's like, okay, everybody's on the J.J. McCarthy hype train now. And in Sean's words is, a lot of teams are not good at doing this thing. So if a lot of teams have J.J. McCarthy on the top, then are we missing something here? Is Sean wanting that to be the case? So maybe he can get someone like Drake May, or maybe Michael Penix Jr. is someone that he really does like. Okay, maybe it is Bo Nix. Maybe it really is, and he's like, nobody's really on Bo Nix. And I know that he's going to be the guy for us. We don't know that. And I think that Sean's that mysterious guy, and we know that he doesn't go with what people want him to go with.
Yeah.
He goes with what his gut tells him, which sometimes I don't know how his gut is.
Yeah, right.
You know, depending on if he has Pepto-Bismol in there or what.
Yeah, yeah. A latte sitting in there.
A little latte.
Yeah.
But I think that he truly thinks he has a dark horse in this draft that nobody's really talking about, like a Michael Penix, like a Bo Nix, or maybe even a Michael Pratt. I know it doesn't sound sexy, but I wonder what's going on in his head.
Well, that can't be in the first round, though, right?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Okay, so maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe his favorite guy just happens to be the fourth or fifth thought of quarterback from the rest of the league. And if that's the case, winning. That's a great intersection. But that might not be the case. It's probably not the case that his favorite guy is the one that's going to fall to 12. Could happen.
The Ravens quarterback failed at 32.
It's true.
And a couple of the quarterbacks that went before him aren't playing right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So there's also still the option to move up.
Yeah.
And we haven't really talked about that. And that got brought up earlier today on NFL Network by Peter Schrager. This cut is about a minute, but we're going to play it all so you get the full context of it. By the way, Peter Schrager has a great relationship with Sean Payton. They worked together at Fox. They hung out every Sunday 18 times in a row. So just put that in your back pocket as you listen to this.
The Broncos do nothing in free agency, and then Sean Payton, the quarterback guru, is going to sit on his hands as Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and the Vikings move up ahead of everybody to go get J.J. McCarthy. If this is a warning or if this is a signal to the market, Sean Payton, George Payton, the Payton brothers, no relation, spelled differently.
Mm-hmm.
You best be ready to get moving. You don't want to miss out on this quarterback class. And if you're sitting at 12 and you're the franchise that's had all the names on that back of that quarterback jersey crossed off year after year after year, and it's Osweiler and it's Brett Rippon and it's Flacco and it's on and on and on, don't miss out on this draft class. Mm. Don't be the one sitting on your hands. I've told this story a million times on this show. I'll tell it one more time.
I love this story.
To our new audience. Sean Payton was set to take Patrick Mahomes with the 11th pick of that draft. He was all set on it. He even started telling Drew Brees this might happen. And Andy Reid jumped ahead of him and took Patrick Mahomes. They took Marshawn Lattimore. It all works out. But don't let that happen again.
It's an interesting context clue of the past. Of that, if you did get burned in the past by something, just in life, doesn't have to be to draft a quarterback, and you truly got burned, and you get reminded of you getting burned throughout your day, throughout your weeks, the way that Sean Payton gets reminded of Mahomes, like every time he raises the damn Lombardi Trophy, it's like, I'm not gonna let that happen again. And the Broncos don't have a lot of draft capital.
Well, there you go right there. What is he going to do?
Mortgage the future.
Yeah. But we're rebuilding. We need everything we can get.
I know.
We need those picks from the future.
I know.
We don't have players to give up.
You have one.
I don't see it happening.
Maybe you're right.
I don't see it happening.
And I'm not saying it should happen, but if you want to move up, if you truly do, they can. They have their first round pick this year. They have their first-round pick next year.
Yeah.
They have their first-round pick the year after that. Again, I'm not advocating.
No.
But if you think that guy, I'm not going to say Mahomes, but once upon a time he did love Mahomes. If you're not going to get burned like that again, maybe they do mortgage the future. And it goes back to that analogy that we talked about a month ago, is if you have a choice to make, do you barely make the mortgage payment and stay afloat, or do you drive down the road and put it on red and gamble and say, if this hits, we're going to be doing all right. But if it doesn't, we're going to be eating tuna for a while.
And maybe that's what Sean's going off of. Off of he wanted Mahomes. He was going to take Mahomes, and Mahomes was taken away from Andy Reid. And he's looking back saying, I wanted this young man. I wanted him, and I didn't get to have him. And now maybe he has that same feeling about one of these other players. I don't see it.
Yeah.
There's not a Mahomes in this draft class.
Yeah, but no one was saying that about Mahomes. That's the kicker.
Well, see, you want to know why I feel like people weren't saying that? Because, one, they weren't winning games.
No, they weren't.
And he went to Texas Tech. That right there tells you a lot. Mahomes has always still been pretty magnificent wherever he went. I had to hear it a lot from Cheverini himself. We used to come in there and he used to talk about Mahomes like he was Tom Brady.
This is Darren Cheverini.
Darren Cheverini, who was with Texas Tech at the time before he came to Colorado with us.
Copy.
So we did a lot of their offense. So we had to do a lot of scouting from what Mahomes was doing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he was going to be like Tom Brady. But look at us now, you know. I don't see that in any of these quarterbacks, though, Zach. And I know I'm not the guru like Sean is.
I understand. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Sean has found somebody that can compete after, you know, a couple years with someone like Mahomes.
Don't know. But I just know, like, man, the Mahomes repackaging of history. Like, he goes 10th overall. You know who went ahead of him? John Ross.
Ah, old John Ross, fast.
Yeah, from Washington.
Yeah.
Right? It was Williams.
Yeah,
Mike. Receiver from Clemson, right? Can't stay, but he just got another deal today. He can't stay healthy. What the hell?
$15 million to be a Jet.
Corey Davis from Western Michigan. He goes fifth. He went ahead of Mahomes.
He's trying
Leonard
to get
Fournette.
Back in.
Mitchell Trubisky. Like,
oh.
You know, so.
Huh?
Poor
Drake May. That's probably why he's getting pushed down. Mitchell Trubisky. They picked him over Deshaun, right? Deshaun Watson.
Watson went 12th. Mahomes went 10th.
Okay.
Yep. But yeah, man, it's like there's no exact science to it. There's not. And we have no idea what's next here. We have no idea what's next. And it's a gamble. It's a gamble if you do, and it's a gamble if you don't. You've heard the stat. You saw the tweet going crazy from the last two from the class of 2021 and the class of 2022 combined. There were 19 quarterbacks taken. Only two of the 19 are expected to start week one. And that's and this just shows you the two quarterbacks, it epitomizes the unscientific nature, because the two quarterbacks who are expected to start from those two classes, week one this coming year, is Trevor Lawrence, who was the first pick in 2021, and Brock Purdy, who was the last pick in 2022. So
see, that speaks volume though. Like, that speaks, and not in a good way. For the NFL, it speaks that you guys are just wanting these young men to come in here and just be Patrick Mahomes right away. You guys don't want to coach. You guys don't want to develop. You guys want to be lazy but get paid a lot of money. That's the issue right now. These players in high school, in college, they're not getting the development that is needed for the NFL level. So these NFL coaches and the front office have to understand whoever they're getting is a talented player probably, but they need work. They need time. And it may not look good for two, maybe even 3 years. Now, when John Elway was coming up, it wasn't just like, oh, John's the greatest. You know, it took time. And then he finally won, you know. But that's what some of these players, I think we're giving up on players so fast, Zach, because this league is not for long. And it's just it's a fast-developing league.
And I think, first of all, you're spot on. The league itself just does not let these quarterbacks marinate anymore. But I think a big part of it is these coaches and administrations who pick the quarterback, they have to, like, the time span of you having to find success in the NFL, it's got to happen pretty quick or they'll fire you. So, like, it's not the old school, like, hey, we're going to give this kid, you know, 2-3 years to develop, because the coach will get fired. The general manager will get fired. And it's resulted it's a negative impact to the quarterback position.
And that's where the CBA needs to come in. Well, what's the difference between basketball and football? Fully guaranteed contracts.
Mm.
If you have a fully guaranteed contract, you're not getting rid of that man. Because now you're glued to him, or you're going to have a situation like we are here in Denver. And not everybody wants to go through that where I'm willing to give up all my money, even if it means we have to take a significant hit. They're going to be like, we're going to play through that contract because we gave this man that lot of money, so we're going to let him develop. We're going to let him brew. He's going to have the same unit around him for multiple years because people are on more guaranteed contracts. And I know this is hard to do, but that's something that would help keep teams together longer to see a developmental stage. That's what happened with us with Colorado. We were not good, Zach, but our senior year, we developed. We got those wounds, like you said, those scars. And then we went up there, we're getting our butts whipped, and then we end up whooping everybody else's butt because we just got used to understanding how to win, and we've been through the fire. We've been through bad times. In the NFL, you don't get that, so now you're not building that chemistry like you want.
I wonder if that, even your Colorado example, if that's still possible at the Power 5 level in today's college football.
I agree with you. I don't think it is.
Where you can get your tail kicked for a few years and have patience and wait for that, you know, those guys to pop. It's fascinating. We're going to continue to follow this stuff because we, you know, they have the mock drafts. You have the odds nowadays that literally, you know, are like a tangible thing that people bet on where these quarterbacks are going to go, and oftentimes reflect. I'll never forget the odds of who the 49ers were going to take 3 years ago. It was Mac Jones was leading like the whole time. And then the day before the draft, it flipped. Someone found out something. So nowadays we can track stuff like that too. And it was interesting, man. Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network released his latest mock draft on the same day as Mel Kiper. And you have Mel Kiper having the Broncos pick Bo Nix at 12. Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network has the Broncos taking Brock Bowers.
Ooh.
And this is just turning into a household college name. He has been for a while.
Yeah.
But he's turning into that at the NFL level. And it was funny, man. And I'll give him credit for putting it out there because it's a fun, kind of painstaking question that Andrew Mason, our senior Broncos writer, asked on Twitter. And he said he was comparing these mock drafts.
Mm.
And he said, who would you rather have at number 12 if it's only one of two options? Bo Nix at 12 and have the fifth quarterback off the board, or Brock Bowers as the best tight end in the class at 12 and figure out the quarterback position later, whether it's later in the draft, next offseason, whatever. What do you think people voted for more, Brock Bowers or Bo Nix? And, fella, I want you to weigh in here, too, here in just a second.
Brock Bowers. I think they went with the tight end position because Brock Bowers is a household name in the college world, okay? We don't have a tight end. We can't rely on DiNucci at this time. Or did I say Dulcich?
Dulcich.
Oh, you know.
DiNucci's he's in the quarter. It's going to be Stidham and DiNucci in camp.
Oh, we're going to have a big battle. Yeah. HBO Max.
Yeah.
The Hard Knocks is coming back.
Could you imagine? Oh, my gosh.
I think it's going to be Brock Bowers. I think that someone like Bo Nix or anybody else that you pick, you could pick later on in the draft.
This thing got thousands of votes.
Okay.
When I checked, it was like 3,000. And I mentioned that because it's a proper sample size. It's not 10 people.
Yeah.
So with a sample size of thousands of votes, when Mace put this poll out there, 52%, this was close.
Was it?
52% said Brock Bowers, while 48% said Bo Nix. And to act like right now, one answer is right and one answer is wrong is foolish because we don't know if Bo Nix is going to be the next Drew Brees. Like, I'm hearing like people put Drew Brees and Bo Nix in the same sentence. It's like, okay. And if Brock Bowers turns out to be a bust, and it wouldn't be the first round tight end bust.
No.
Or if he turns out to be Gronkowski, it's like, we just don't know. But it was so tight, 52% of votes said Brock Bowers, while 48% said Bo Nix. Where do you, Philip Lindsay, fall on that question? If it was you're at 12, four quarterbacks have already been picked.
Yeah.
Would you rock with Bo or would you rock with Brock That sounds like it's got a hashtag in front of it. Hashtag rock with Brock.
Well, last time we had a Brock out here, it wasn't good with old Brock Osweiler.
Well, he contributed on a Super Bowl run in the regular season.
He did.
Put some respect on his
name. Okay, my bad. Well, with that being said, with all respect, I'm going to have to go with Brock Bowers. And, you know, there was a listener yesterday with us. I think we were taking questions from the Ramos Law text line, and he said, what's the difference between someone like Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham at this time?
Yeah.
And at first, I didn't really understand the question he was asking, but now it's starting to hit me in the sense of Jarrett Stidham is still young. He's just like a rookie because he doesn't have that many games under his belt, only four.
Yeah.
And I just get done preaching about developing and letting quarterbacks develop. Now, I'm not saying Jarrett Stidham's the franchise quarterback for us, but obviously Sean sees something in him that we don't see in him.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, and we're going to have to roll with someone like Jarrett Stidham, then we need to put stuff around him until we find that quarterback. Because if we pick up Brock Bowers before Bo Nix, or if we just pick up Brock Bowers and not Bo Nix, that means that's telling me a lot that Sean either lost the love of his life in the draft or he didn't never love one of these quarterbacks.
Right.
And now he's counting on Jarrett Stidham. So we better have something there for Jarrett to play with at this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment there. And, man, what we don't know is we know Sean loves Stidham.
Yeah.
We just don't know how much. And the question and a segment I already have built in for tomorrow is, what is it based off? And is that a solid foundation that it's based off? And we'll have that conversation tomorrow. But I am going to agree with you. If the Broncos are at 12, and again, this is it. There's not anything that's going to happen at 12 that doesn't come with risk.
Yeah, smart man, Zach, always agreeing with me.
And Brock feels like a sure thing at the tight end position. And if you're talking about taking the fifth quarterback off the board, not that it can't work. Lamar worked in 2018.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything with Bo Nix that ever had me say, oh my gosh. Like there was moments watching Michael Penix at Washington where I'm like, this dude has it.
Yeah.
This dude has it. And the medical scare me, and that's a separate conversation. But I never watched Bo Nix and said that. And I had plenty of opportunity.
But see, that's the thing, Zach. That's what Sean likes. He doesn't want a quarterback that's exciting like Justin Fields probably would be, which we're scratching our heads because like you could have got a 6th-round pick for this kid to battle someone like Jarrett Stidham. But maybe he does what Sean wants done. The little things, the details, staying in the pocket, getting it to the receivers on time, right? Pace, rhythm. And that's what he's looking for at this point.
Right.
Maybe he's like, I'm not in love with Bo Nix, but I know that I can develop him into something. Now, he may not be a Patrick Mahomes, but if we build around him the right way, we can help him out, and he could be like a Brock Purdy. Because we don't know what Brock Purdy looks like without all the weapons he has.
Nope. And we don't have to think about it.
Because
he plays in San Francisco.
Exactly. Now, put someone like Bo Nix around with a bunch of weapons like the 49ers, what would he look like? And maybe that's what he's envisioning as he goes through that if he picks up Bo. Or maybe he's like, I can still get Bo, but I'm going to get him later on, and I'm going to get Brock Bowers, and I'm going to find a way to get back in the second round because I know I don't have a second-round pick right now and pick up Bo.
Not crazy. Man, it's you can go a bunch of different directions with this, really. And that's what makes this next month and change flat out fascinating. Could the Broncos move up into the top five? They could. Would it be one of the largest risks in Broncos history? Yes. But is it an equal risk to not take the swing and be living that Patrick Mahomes nightmare that Sean lives where, man, I was going to take him at 11 and Andy Reid jumped me at 10. And so, or, you know, could they just go position a positional player? Could they trade back? It's like, we have no idea what's about to happen next. So it makes for what we do with this job kind of fascinating right now, but they just have to get it right. Sean Payton and the Broncos have to get it right.
We want to win. We want to win. And it may not be this year, but it has to be on the upward. Like, we have to be able to say, okay, after the end of this season, there's a lot of positive things to take out of this, and we're going in the right direction.
Yes.
I don't want to sit back and say, man, we rolled with Jarrett Stidham the whole entire year. It didn't work out. the young quarterback behind him didn't even get an opportunity to play. Now what? Now we're sitting here questioning what this young man can do. Like, I don't want to do that again.
All right, we shall see how it all plays out. We have a little over a month to put all the puzzle pieces and clues on the table and see what picture it creates. But in the meantime, the madness is about to begin. Colorado State playing in the NCAA tournament tonight, and tomorrow it's the CU Buffs. What is on the mind of Tad Boyle heading into a massive game for the Buffaloes men's basketball team? He joined us earlier in the show. And you'll hear what he said coming up next. All right, Tad Boyle, head men's basketball coach.
Ah, this music right here, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
You know, Tad, although sometimes, you know, it can be critical of Tad as we, you know, talk about sports and, you know, just what we do. Big picture, 20,000 foot view.
Yeah.
Tad Boyle has been an incredible asset to that university. All-time wins leader, most 20 win seasons in program history. This crept up on us, but the Buffs are one win away from the most wins in the history of the program.
Yeah.
If they can win tomorrow night. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and Tad being from here, from Greeley, right? Tad originally being from Greeley, you know, had some time at University of Colorado, Northern Colorado before he got to Colorado. It's a big thing going around, and then he has a chance to do what he's about to do tonight, tomorrow if he does win. It's big for Tad.
It is. It is. And he joined us at the top of hour number two. And, you know, I raised my hand to him because I wanted to, I don't want, like, if I'm going to say you were dead in the water, you know, during the season,
yeah,
when he joins us, that's what I'll say.
And that's why you have two black eyes right now. And one tooth missing. Were you in hockey?
I said, Coach, I thought you guys were dead in the water. In the middle of the season when they had lost four or five, it looked like they were one more loss away from not being eligible to make the tournament.
Yep.
And they turned it around. And I asked Coach Boyle, what led specifically to that turnaround?
Let me first say, Zach, that's on you, man. I can never lose faith in the Buffs. I can tell you that.
It is. I raise my hand.
Guys, look, as I look back, and it's, you know, it's easy to say now, but that trip to LA that we made, you know, middle of the conference, actually a little about two thirds of the way through the league, and we lose a really, really heartbreaking game to UCLA, and we're at Pauley Pavilion, and in that locker room, I mean, it was as dead as it could be because our guys, we fought our tails off. I mean, really competed and lost to a good UCLA team that we felt like we should have beaten. And then, you know, 2 days later, we go to SC and we're down 16 in the second half and somehow find a way to scratch and claw back and win a game in double overtime from down 16. And then to see that locker room and the joy and the happiness that we felt together and the sense of accomplishment. And then we just got on a run. You know, we didn't lose again until the other night in Vegas in the conference, you know, championship, and we reel off eight in a row and win eight of nine. And that game at SC after that tough UCLA loss was definitely the key.
Love the response there, because you go back to that game against USC, Phil, they're down 16 in the second half. They had just played UCLA. They find a way to come all the way back, push the game into overtime. And then it's tied again at the end of overtime. And they go to double overtime. And they end up squeaking it out 92-89 and then didn't lose another game for a month.
They were rolling, Zach. They were rolling. I mean, we all know they had a talented team to start this year off. Zach, you know, it didn't pan out how we wanted or I wanted it to. You know, we wanted to as a Colorado natives.
Yeah.
But they're starting to turn on at the right time. And I think one of the biggest things Tad did was bench Cody Williams. Okay, have him coming off the bench because team comes before just one player. That was one of the best coaching moves Tad has done this year.
And this is a kid who's the highest rated recruit in the history of the program.
Yeah.
And he got banged up. and instead of get him right back in the starting lineup. Well, I'll let Tad Boyle, because that was your question to Tad, of what went into deciding to bring Cody Williams off the bench.
Yeah, well, you know, Philip, he's had a rough year. Cody is as talented as a young man as you're gonna see. I mean, he's got a great, great future ahead of him as a pro, and he's had three different injuries this year where it just was like it's been kind of a stop and go year for him.
Yeah,
and all three of the injuries, you know, made him caused him to lose multiple games, and just felt like the way we're playing, we had things kind of moving, and he was still going to play. But I told him, I said, you know, wait, when you come back, I said, I'm going to bring you off the bench. And, you know, he's fine with it. He's such a team guy.
Yeah.
It just was one of those things that, you know, I thought about, and staff had talked about it, and he's still going to play. And in his minutes, you know, I think he played 19 the other night, so he's working himself back into shape. And Luke O'Brien's done a great job in his, you know, in his place. And you know, our rotation's pretty narrow. We don't play a lot of guys, but the minutes that those guys off the bench come in and do give us are critical, and Cody's probably the most.
Well, I cannot wait for tomorrow night. You want to hear that whole conversation with Tad Boyle, you can check it out on the Drive podcast right at the top of hour number two. And I got to give a shout-out to the Sports Information Department. Did a great job of kind of, you know, allowing Coach Tad the availability. I mean, they have a ton of stuff on their schedule there in Dayton. They're practicing. They had NCAA media obligations earlier today. And you know, we were pretty persistent, and they helped us out. And so big shout out, big shout out.
We had to get the pit bull Zach on him.
Well, it was funny because, you know, and I came up doing this, and I didn't, these guys behind the scenes already have so much to worry about. So I put my producer hat back on and just started emailing and calling and more emailing and more calling. And ultimately, they helped us out, and Tad was great. He was present, focused, he's a huge fan of yours. And you said something earlier. You said he was my biggest critic.
Yeah.
In addition to being my biggest fan. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, we would always have conversations. I could always talk to Coach Tad about anything. He would be real with me, honest with me, and see what he saw as a coach, right? And I was able to kind of sit here and listen to him and understand what he's talking about. He used to talk to the coaches as well.
Sure.
And a lot of people respect Tad. Tad has been around for a very long time. There's not a moment that goes by if Tad walks around. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He will be at the Colorado's men's football's practice. He will truly be there just sitting there watching.
Wow.
Like, he's that type of guy.
Yeah.
And so he knows what he's talking about with all the sports. So, man, you know, I love Tad, and I love what he brings to the table for the Buffs. He's been there, one of my biggest supporters. And, yeah, man, it's great to hear from him.
Well, he's had quite a run. All-time wins leader in the history of the program.
Yeah.
And once upon a time, was a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Played at Kansas. Played for Larry Brown at Kansas.
Won one, right? He won a championship, I think KJ was saying.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think
won
that's
a championship.
Right. Yep. Really cool. Appreciate him giving us the time. And they play tomorrow, and I think they're going to beat Boise State tomorrow night. And we'll talk more about that matchup tomorrow, and we'll be reacting to CSU's matchup tonight. Cannot wait for that as the madness is kicking off. And by the way, if you haven't filled out your bracket, what are you doing? It's that time of the year. It's super fun, all right? And the good news is you have a chance to win $5,000 if you have the winning bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops, all right? And if you just go to the website, denversports.com, you're going to see the big banner up top. You can click on it, register. Same with our football pick'em. It doesn't cost anything. There's only upside for you. So sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entry closes before the first games on Thursday. And speaking of Thursday, we are going to be hanging out at Stoney's downtown on 11th and Lincoln. And we're going to be there from 2 to 6 p.m. And so if I get hit up from time to time, someone say, hey, you know, when's the next time you guys are going to be on the road? Hey, when can I meet Phil? I want him to sign this or take a picture with him. And so Thursday's a good opportunity for that, as we are going to be at Stoney's downtown watching the games, talking our stuff, doing the show. The energy is going to be crazy awesome.
I can't wait.
So,
believe it or not, there's a lot of fans out there for you. they're asking me, they're like, hey, when are we going to be able to see Zach? Does he look better? Does he look any better? You know, how's he look after Tad gave him two black eyes and a missing tooth? I said, believe me, guys, he looks better like that.
Oh, my God. All right, what a busy night in Colorado sports. Where will your eyes go? How will you prioritize things? And what are the five things that we're watching for tonight? We'll take a dive into that coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil. I got
five. All right, it's time for the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. What are the five things that we're watching for this evening? Yesterday was an interesting selection across the board because there wasn't much going on. So we learned about guys' secret habits, all right, with maybe a lie or two mixed in, all right? Will Peterson is back from Denver Sports tonight, denversports.com. We have Drew stayed with us through the whole show.
Oh, thank you, Drew.
He didn't leave early like Bones Highland. KJ's always here. So there's five of us. Yes, yes. There's five of us. What are we watching for tonight? Dude. After a dry night in Colorado sports, we got the CSU Rams in the NCAA tournament. We have the Nuggets in a dead heat with Minnesota in Minnesota. We have the Avs looking to extend to what will be, if they win, the longest winning streak of the season against a team that's kind of a rival in the Blues. Would you say that, Will, that the Blues are a rival of the Avs?
Oh, yeah. After the 22 playoff series, when you got Jordan Binnington throwing water bottles at Nazem Kadri while he's doing postgame on TNT.
I'll never forget it.
That's a rivalry.
All right. Philip Lindsay, what will you be watching for tonight, man?
Yeah, man. I'm going to be on the CSU game, y'all. It's a big one. And I think that CSU is going to beat Virginia. I want them to beat Virginia. I want all the Colorado teams to do well. Although I went to see you, I got to go for him. Isaiah Stevens?
Yes.
Man, I want him to have a game. I want him to be able to be remembered forever. And if he can go out there and put together a show, he would definitely have his jersey hung up.
Yeah.
And I'm all on that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we were joined earlier in the show by Kevin Lytle of the Colorado, and he said that's like among Colorado State fans and passionate people, that's a daily big time discussion. It's only one jersey up there, and if this kid doesn't go up there, I don't know what he had to do. He won the most games, scored the most points, dished out the most assists. A win tonight, it should make that an open and shut conversation.
Before you go, I want to give a shout out to my son Philip. Phil. He's Phil listening Phil. Right now. And he was like, he was telling dad, he was asking why dad's not saying hi back. And so, you know, I want to say hi, Phil, I love you, and daddy will be home soon.
Oh, I love it. Phil, it's Mr. Zach from the Pumpkin Patch.
Yeah.
Where your dad lied about his guesses on how much the pumpkins weighed. no, I love it, dude. Okay, Drew Spivak behind the glass. What do you got? What are you looking for tonight?
This is a tough one, boys, because like you said, we got a lot of action tonight. So I'm going to, of course, have one eye on the CSU game, catch the end of the Nuggets game. But being the resident hockey guy, I got to be watching the Avalanche tonight. And Justus Onanen getting the starting goal against a low-scoring St. Louis Blues team. But Onanen has got his last three starts, .977 save percentage, two shutouts. Can he do it again tonight against the Blues?
And hey. weren't both the shutouts against the Blackhawks?
They were.
How are the Blackhawks?
Really, really, really bad.
All right, so I think tonight will be more representative, and I like that one. That's a really good one to watch because that changes the dynamic of the team if he's a solid number two. So I like that. Kamaje behind the glass. What are you looking for in your the Drive's Top 5 of the night brought to you by High Five Plumbing?
I, too, or three, or four, will also be watching all three games. But more than all of that, I will have my eye on Twitter tonight to see if Jerry Jeudy has any cryptic tweets about Denver because they didn't believe in him and Cleveland has given him the money. They paid him. They have absolutely lost their mind. They paid two people that they had no business paying. That's another discussion for another day. And I'm going to see, does Jerry Jeudy have a little jab back at Denver? He already said, you guys will see on the other side. I'm paraphrasing. We'll see if he has more.
I think we will get a tweet from Jerry, but not tonight. It's going to be after some sort of high moment in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he will take a subliminal shot at Denver. It's coming. It's coming. Cannot believe the deal he got. We didn't spend enough time on that today. No, we can talk about it tomorrow, but God almighty. A contract worth up to $58 million with over $40 million guaranteed. For what? For zero combined 1,000-yard seasons? For 2.75 touchdowns a year on average?
What
Holy
like,
smokes.
In NFL, it's what they like. Who they like and what they like.
Crazy. All right, Scrappy Will, what are you looking for tonight?
Oh, real quick. Jerry Jeudy had a tweet an hour and 6 minutes ago. So KJ may be onto something.
What did he have?
I just got this sent to me. He said, LOL, 972, missed six games, though. There you go. You're 1,000. So I think he's trying to say he had 972 yards where he missed six games and could have gotten 1,000. That doesn't seem right
to
me.
No, that's not true. That's not right.
But
he didn't have 972 yards in a year. He missed six games.
I mean, I'm reading the tweet. You tell me when I'm reading the tweet wrong.
Read it again one more time.
LOL, 972, missed six games. There you go. You're 1,000. Laughy face, laughy face.
What the hell is he talking about?
I just think it's funny that KJ brought this up.
The year he went 972 was 2022. That was his best season. Yard is just the best season. 972 yards. He played 15 games. He missed two games.
He needs to check his math.
Yeah. Is he talking? I don't know. I don't know what Jerry's.
Oh. I mean, it's just the irony in this, though, because KJ, that was a good one. Yeah. We got it an hour ago.
This guy, he can't help himself.
He can't help himself.
So he added five more games, huh?
Yeah. It's like he can't, like.
Yeah, Jerry's playing a 21-game season, apparently.
Yeah, for real. Like,
God almighty.
Where are we at?
Jerry. Okay. Will, what are you looking for?
I'm watching Nuggets and Wolves tonight, fellas. As excited as I am about the rest of it, this game is so huge because Minnesota did pull out that game in Utah last night. Mm-hmm. And we chatted about it a little bit. Yeah, the one seed's great, but the two seed is really, really important. Get your home court in those first two rounds. And then if Oklahoma City gets upset, you still get home court in the Western Conference Finals. Tonight goes a long way toward deciding the two. And fellas, within the last half hour, Naz Reid has been ruled out.
Yep.
Towns is obviously out. Gobert and Edwards are questionable. If those two don't go, you better win by 20. You better just blow them out of the building.
Yeah, and for the Nuggets tonight, typically I would be proceeding with caution in terms of their competitive spirit if guys are ruled out the way that we have seen, right? Oh, Embiid's not going to play. Next thing you know, you're in a three-point game in the middle of the fourth quarter. This tonight, I don't think it matters for two different reasons. One, this team is going to be acutely aware of what's at stake in the standings. They want the number one seed. They vocalize that. Heard it from KCP. You've heard it from Aaron Gordon. They want the number one seed. But also, they're coming off of a game where they lacked a competitive spirit in what I view as like the trenches, how I view the trenches in football. That's what rebounding is and defensive rebounding is in the game of basketball. Talked about this yesterday. Talked about it today on the Mile High Hoops podcast, available at denversports.com or wherever you get your podcasts. That will not be lacking tonight because of what happened on Sunday. In addition to the ramifications with the seeding, I think you see a full-blown effort. I don't care who plays, who doesn't. Denver's walking out of Minnesota tonight with a win. And for me, it's just a matter of what goes on the laptop and what goes on the big screen. And I will be following the Avs in St. Louis initially as they'll start first, but I'll transition to CSU probably on the laptop, Nuggets on the big screen. If I had to pick just one, I think I gotta go CSU. Mm. I don't have to pick, but this is the tournament.
It's their game seven.
Yeah, if they lose, their season's over. If the Nuggets lose, they're gonna be fine, you know. But I'll still have eyes locked on the Nuggets. But I'll tell you what, if you're a CSU fan, you want them to win. You want them to win tonight. CSU's two wins away from Nico Medved hitting the bricks and getting hired in a Power 5 conference. That program's not good. It was not good. Nico shows up there in the tournament two out of the last 3 years. So that's the damned if you do, damned if you don't nature of college sports. If the coach kills it, he might leave. So that's on the radar as well. Guys, enjoy it. Enjoy tonight. Fun night. Fun night in Colorado sports. Thanks for making us a small part of your Tuesday. We got Denver sports tonight coming up next.